Welcome to the Internet Advisor Podcast. I'm your host and producer, Foster Brown. Along with my co-host, Gary Baker, and our team of experts, we've been helping people like you since 1998 with your computer problems, introducing you to valuable resources, and promoting tech enterprise throughout Michigan. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour podcast recorded every week at the studios of historic WJR Radio in Detroit. Both hours of the show are available each week on this podcast and are streamed to our affiliates across the state of Michigan. We're also proud to be part of Detroit's newest and fastest-growing podcast network, PodcastDetroit.com. And now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Hi, I'm Foster Brown, the co-host of the program and producer, and we've got a great show lined up for you today. What is the story of your life, and are you telling it? That's the more important part about it. Will anybody know what the story of your life is? That's a very important question that we're going to be answering today with some folks who have got a program that they've set up to help us to remember all those details of the story of our lives and capture it for our posterity as well. Welcome aboard. It's the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown and Gary Baker, Ed Rudell and Shane Hamlin in studio. Shane, so good to have you with us.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
Good to have you back from, was it Cancun?
Mexico.
Mexico.
Yes. See, yes.
You're down there.
And you're married again.
I did. Yeah. Well, 20 years I owed it to my wife to remarry her, renew our vows.
Oh, that's
very nice.
And it was quite interesting trip. I mean, almost didn't come back.
Serious.
Nice. I mean, just
that much fun.
You're going to open a computer store down there?
You know, I thought about it.
Really?
I was looking around. You know, it's an island of Cozumel. It's just an island.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's mostly Americans. And there's no computer. I didn't see a single computer place.
Tiki bar and computer.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Man. Oh, that's it.
Dive shop and viruses. I mean, just something. I was thinking of all.
The soggy dollar computer shop,
something.
Right?
Something. Gringo computers. You know, something, right?
Oh, man.
It's just such a different way of life.
Very different pace of life, huh?
Slow. Not everyone's on their phone. You know, the internet's not so good. You know, it was just wonderful. And plus, my son got engaged finally. So
nice!
Congratulations!
We hit the double whammy down there.
Oh, congratulations cool. to yeah, him. Cool. What's his name?
Nick.
Nick. Nick. Congratulations,
Nick and Jacqueline.
Nick and Jacqueline, congratulations to the two of you on that. Well, we weren't doing anything quite that exciting here.
Right.
You and I were just doing the show.
Right.
And Captain Nemo here was down.
He was at the tail end of, Fort Lauderdale?
I was in Fort Lauderdale at a marina, and I was just trying out the Wi-Fi because starting May 1st, that's where I'm going to be. Actually going over to the British Virgin Islands next weekend, so I won't be here, to look at the boat I have money down on.
And, oh, my goodness.
If I buy it, I'll go down on the 21st of April and... 1,200 miles back.
Well, the story of his life, Gary Baker, is that in his 20th year on the air here at WJR, he's moving to a boat.
Yeah.
That is kind of
cool.
So
that'll be fun.
We're working out the kinks, by the way, folks. Last week when you were on, we were experimenting with getting hooked up with you and being able to have you online with us through Skype and a bunch of other stuff, and we'll get that worked out.
Yeah, we have a few kinks to work out yet.
Yep, still do.
I'm thinking, what's that show where they have the little robot with the...
Oh, Science Theater 2000 or Science... Yeah,
where you basically...
Mystery Science.
Yeah, Mystery Science, where you have one character and he's basically a monitor and a little robot that drives around. Right, and they have those at Google too. You get a virtual conference.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I love those ones. It's like an iPad.
Yeah.
It's mounted on top of a pole that's on a base that runs around, and we could have Gary virtually here doing that. That would be so cool.
Just park me over there in the corner.
That's right.
Okay.
There's so many ways.
Sometimes once in a while.
Well, we're going to be also experimenting with adding video to the show as well.
So, I mean, we're going to round out this 20th year, Gary, with moving into a whole brave new world.
That's right. Time to hit the gym.
Hey, it just in time for me to be gone most of the time. I won't be gone all the time. I'll be back and forth.
Hey, guys, one of the things I saw this last week, among the other things, there are many things that were announced, is that there were a whole bunch of announcements about Google Chrome, Ed, many of which you passed on to me.
Well, the first one that caught my eye is about the Google Chrome and having multiple tabs is really a battery killer for laptops. And I know my son and most kids have the same tabs open all the time. They'll have 15, 25 tabs mm-hmm. opened up. And I'm like, close those. Me being in the old days, we would close them.
Does that mean I'm a kid? Because I do the,
you
same,
do the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, what you don't know what's happening in the background is every for every tab you have open, it's always refreshing that information. And it's sapping not only CPU power, but it's ruining your bandwidth of your computer and how much you're drawing from the internet. And like I said, it's using up CPU resources and battery resources. So Google's newest version of Google Chrome will limit the amount of CPU utilization and suspend the refreshes of the tabs in the background.
Okay.
So that they only refresh when you activate that tab, and then they can draw 100% of the CPU if they need to. But it limits them to 1%, which is great.
Oh, great, yeah, absolutely. Isn't that what's going on with the Apple with the iPhone? That you can have a whole bunch of tabs open there.
It's amazing. I look at my wife's phone sometimes. There's like 500 things open.
I know.
I'm like, just close them.
I do the same thing. Why close them?
It's amazing, though. 30 years ago, our parents were saying, shut the lights off when you leave the room. Now we're saying, hey, close your tabs when you're not using them. Right?
You know, I have the same problem. Some people at work, though, like, you know, I'm not receiving my notifications. Or my email just doesn't come in. It's not as snappy as it used to. I try to open an email, and it's like Shane said, they'll have tons of open email in the background and tons of Explorer windows open up, and you have to close those.
Yep, yep. Now, the other thing I see here that Chrome
And it makes it worse. And when you reboot the units, just shutting them off, the tabs are everything still remains open.
What?
So for both Samsung and iPhone, as a convenience, all open apps are reopen again in the background.
Oh.
So it's really important.
Restore all your tabs, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So is it important then to shut down all those tabs?
Sometimes, if you're starting to experience problems, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, if it's starting to slow down. There was something else I saw about, Google Chrome, the new version of it, is adding a read it later function to the latest browser.
No, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. Yeah, so that you can much more easily now, apparently, with a new version of Chrome, you can mark something as, you know, that's interesting, but I don't really have time to look at it right now.
I'm not in
the
mood.
My reading this, so that's the best thing about online reading, as opposed to when I used to read magazines, they would stack up to the point where I eventually couldn't read them all. I'd just take the bottom third and throw them away, right?
Right.
Or recycle them, and, you know. And now I have a way to do that with Chrome, the new version of Chrome. I love it.
It's all coming with the new version of Chrome, which I think may be out right now. So if you want to try updating... excuse me, your Chrome, and see if that does it. We'll be back in just a moment to start the story of your life. Well, my partner Gary Baker here was just sharing with us in studio that he was rummaging through some of his memorabilia and came across something that we'll share with you in just a moment. But it's kind of interesting, the decision about what you keep and what you don't keep. You know, the things that you pass on to your kids and the things that you want to, you know, save to remind you of different times?
Well, it was really interesting because we sold my mother-in-law's house 2 years ago and my parents' house this last summer. And going through and cleaning things out, now there was a lot of work. They left mm-hmm. a lot of stuff there. But things I hadn't even thought of in years. And they never had a chance to really put that down in a way, in their words. And there's now a better way to do that. Right?
Absolutely. And your perfect segue into our first guest, is David Sawyer. He is with something called TSO Life, or The Story of Life. David, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Thank you for having me on. I greatly appreciate it.
I'm delighted to have you with us. The TSO Life is described as an online tool to help us capture, record, and share the story of a life well lived. The picture of you, by the way, is of a very young man. How did you get involved in this project that normally is something that, shall we say, a little older person like Mr. Baker would be involved in?
You're talking about my dad, right?
It was actually ironic. We just got done with a genealogy conference, and I was a speaker at it, and I walked in, and they asked if I was lost. They weren't in the place of what, so young going in and being involved in this industry. But the main reason I actually got started with this about 3 years ago was with the passing of my grandmother. I was extremely close with her my entire life. She used to snowbird down here to Florida because we had a Mickey Mouse warm weather, and because I was down here, I like to think. And when she passed away, I was at her funeral, and I realized that there were so many stories I didn't get the chance to hear from her. You know, I didn't get to hear how she met my grandfather. I didn't get to hear what it was like to raise my dad. I didn't get to hear what it was like to have me as a grandson, and she never had a chance to get to tell me. And both of our lives were lacking because we never got to have those conversations. So we created TSL Life as an online platform for people to be able to go on and record their life stories. Because in my case, I was too young to have many of these conversations with my grandmother, but she could have gone onto this platform and recorded these stories. And when the time was right, I would have meant so much to me, and I would have definitely cherished those type of memories.
You know, what I love about this is that you are giving people some formal kind of tools that they can use to do this type of thing. Because I think I wouldn't be surprised if all of us in one way or another have said, gee, I wish I had kept Uncle Milton's memories, or my grandmother grew up in Ireland at the turn of the 20th century. During the Black and Tan War, and she was in Belfast. And, you know, I remember some of the stories that she would tell, but I thought, gee, it's too bad that I didn't capture that.
Right.
And TSO Life really is about the tools to capture those things.
Yeah, no, we try to make it as easy and engaging as possible. And one of the big things we heard is that, you know, people, they didn't know where to start. They didn't know how to begin. So one of the first things we did is we created a simple step-by-step guide to help people just basically get started and really just start tackling this massive project. I mean, how would you even begin to tell these stories? How would I even start? And so we have a guide that asks you simple questions that you can elaborate on and really helps you navigate, you know, a life well-lived, as we like to call it.
Now, I noticed that you have, you know, videos on your site. By the way, it's TSO Life. And we have a link to that, by the way, at our homepage, internetadvisor.net. But I noticed on there that you had some, it looks like, pretty nicely produced videos. How would I get, you know, somebody, do you have a crew that comes up to my place, or I go someplace to have it shot?
Yep, you hit the nail right on the head. We have a documentary team that actually travels to your location, and they spend an afternoon interviewing you about your life. And what they do is they take all that footage, and we shoot in beautiful 4K, high resolution and everything, high def for all of this. And we go back to the studio, and then we edit it down to about a 15 to 20 minute documentary on your life, and it's just a perfect way to be remembered and to celebrate and cherish the life well lived. And then what we also do is, from all those stories in that interview that we don't actually put in the video, we go ahead and put that as your digital profile. We put all that stuff into your personal legacy so that those stories are also remembered. But the main focus is having that amazing video that you're remembered by. So we kind of call it what we call, does it pass the millennial test? And if we at home can't sit and, when we're producing this video, watch through it, then it's not interesting enough, and we go back and figure out new ways to make it more entertaining. Because that's the main thing. We want people to celebrate life and pass it on to their grandkids and get people involved.
I love that. It's a millennial test that you put this through.
You got to capture their attention in the first 10 seconds.
And hang on to it.
And hang on to it.
No, that is important. So what are the costs involved in this thing? How do people get involved in this?
Yes, well, what people can do is we have a free 30-day trial on our site, so you can get started on it, see if it's for you, and if it's not, no hard feelings whatsoever. There's no credit card that's required for signing up. It truly is a free trial. And then if after 30 days you like it and you want to continue adding to it, you can do a monthly payment of $4.99, and you can just continue writing out your life story. Or if you really love it, what you can do is a one-time fee of $149, and that's going to give you 15 gigabytes that we're going to keep up in perpetuity so that you can have your great-grandkids, you know, go back and look at it. So one of the main things we did is when I would go and, you know, try to look up more information about my grandmother, the only thing she had online was just her funeral service page, which is just her name, her date of birth, occupation, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And so what we really want is for grandkids to be able to go online 50 years from now, relatives they've never met, and really get a sense of who they were and what their family history actually is.
You know, I've been going through some of the stuff at home. Just after cleaning out my mother-in-law's home and my parents' home, I thought, you know what, I'm just going to, you know, figure out how to get rid of some of this stuff so that my kids don't have to. It's taken me forever to go through some of these boxes because I look at these and I haven't thought about that in 30 mm-hmm. years, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'll find another box that kind of related, one thing related to something in that first box. But, you know, so I'm having trouble keeping it all together. I'm putting different folders up. I'm taking photographs of things that I can't scan. I'm scanning other things. You know, I found my baby book.
Oh, my.
I don't think I ever saw it. It was kind of given to me in a folder. You know, my sister, I think, gave them to us because my mom had kept them. And I'm going to go back and give it to my mom today when I see her. And she's, you know, I go visit her, and I think it'll bring back great memories for her.
I bet it will.
I wish we could all do something like this. And Dave, your service is just mm-hmm. wonderful.
It's kind of like beating death a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, you can live on forever in the internet. Kind of reminds me of Vanilla Sky a little bit.
No, that is interesting. It's like a time capsule. That you can. Now, Dave, do people continue to contribute to these things? For instance, let's say Grandpa Joe, you know, goes through TSO Life and he's got his profile up there. Can the kids come along, let's say after he's passed, can the kids come along then and contribute things? Like, let's say maybe some of the family members find some pictures that they had that weren't included before.
Yeah, so how that works out is every account, you can name as many account administrators as you want and have basically as either a child or, you know, a spouse. And what they'll do is upon your passing, they'll be able to go and log into that account and be able to add to it. And the really neat thing with this site as well is, you know, we have all this deeply personal information. We want our users to be in complete control of who gets to see this deeply personal mm-hmm. content. Mm-hmm. So the unique thing is every single story on our site has its own unique privacy setting. It's not just the entire profile is public or private. Mm. Every single story. So they can go on and give people access that previously didn't have it. You know, once the grandkid reaches a certain age, they can, you know, get more access to other stories. So
they can hear the real story.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so
exactly.
My college
quality story on until they're 18, and then we can make that one a little more.
Yeah. My college stories can stay private for a while. Okay, good.
Exactly.
Well, and I think, Dave, that's what's really cool about this. And like I was saying, that, you know, it's taken me a while to go through just getting my own thoughts together, and your ongoing monthly membership, I think that's a wonderful idea.
Dave Sawyer's our guest. He is with TSO Life, thestoryoflife.com. And when we come back, Dave, I want to talk a little bit more of some of the mechanics of getting the information up there. And I'm also fascinated to find out what your connection is to Stetson University down in Florida, because a lot of the stories were from there as well. Dave Sawyer with us from TSO Life. Stick around, and it's the story of your life, too. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor, and Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, Shane Hamlet here, along with David Sawyer, who is with TSO Life. That's a website that offers a service to, it's an online tool, really, to help you capture, record, and share the story of a life well-lived, your life. Mm-hmm. And their goal is to create an innovative outlet for people to tell their life stories in the way that their loved ones can cherish for future generations.
You know, it almost seems like there's two parts to this website and services. You've got the online version of it, which is, you know, the membership, monthly membership, mm-hmm. where you're documenting things and you're posting stuff. And then you've got almost the other side, which is the personal historian side, where they're actually coming out to your location and assisting you with the filming of a documentary mm-hmm. about, you know, and is that correct? I mean, is there kind of two sides of this?
We have it, what we call the do-it-yourself package, where they'll go online platform and we make tools extremely easy. But at the same time, we also have the service packages where we'll go out and do these high-quality documentaries and really put our best team out there to have a very, very unique experience for their loved ones.
Okay, okay. So the difference between the two is that the do-it-yourself style, which is the $5.99 a month, or was it $149 a year, I think mm-hmm. it is? Yeah, $149 a year.
Lifetime.
A lifetime, pardon me.
Yeah.
Lifetime, one time fee.
Okay. And that allows you then to go on with a set of online tools if you're, you know, digitally skilled enough to do that kind of thing. The other one is you actually send a crew to people's homes.
Yes, correct.
Okay, and there's a, and I'm thinking, I used to produce videos, so I'm guessing that your personal historian is essentially the producer who takes the film crew with them, right?
Yeah, so actually, believe it or not, we have the personal historian's one that does the interview, handles all that, and then we have someone that is capable of doing the cinematography, and then another one that actually runs all the audio. And at the same time, while we're there, we digitize photos, we take the before metal, so we actually get all of the B-roll, as it would be known as, all the photos and stuff to include into the documentary as well while we're out there.
Boy, that would make an excellent gift towards a great uncle or a grandfather, an 80th birthday gift. I mean, it'd be great.
You're right, an 80th birthday gift.
Well, and I think the best part is to be able to start on your own. Well, first of all, start free, and then if you decide you want to continue, buy the monthly membership or buy the lifetime membership, but be able to organize your thoughts over a period of a number of months and then have these guys come out and help you really produce it into something that people want to watch.
Be realistic. I mean, it's not going to be cheap, obviously, to do this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what your prices start at, but I mean, it's you're having a film crew come to your house. That costs money, right? So I would imagine it's going to be a few, several hundred dollars.
But the memories are
priceless, it's a great gift. Right? I mean,
in full disclosure, on the website it says the packages start at $750.
Oh, okay.
What is that when you say a package starts at $750? Give me a little idea what you're talking about there, Dave Sawyer.
Yeah, so typically how that works is if someone's just coming out for two hours to do the interviews and the documentary, I mean, it really depends on just how much back-end work is associated with it. So if we're starting from complete scratch and we need to do, multiple interviews, that's going to be more. It all just really is calculated based on the total man hours that these projects take.
Okay, so it could amount to something significant. Now, tell me, by the way, for instance, on the website there, you have a number of videos that people can go on and look at. I noticed that a number of the people there are from Stetson University, which is a university down in Florida. Why the concentration on Stetson University? Is that where it came from initially?
Yeah, the core team are all Stetson students, and I'm a Stetson graduate, so we were able to go through our alumni, and there were people when I first was, coming up with the concept, they immediately loved it and they wanted to do it for a specific one. And we had some very famous and loved alumni who Stetson University was kind enough to actually pay for their lives to be documented. And then Stetson was able to promote it amongst their things. It's kind of a way to give back for alumni that have really dedicated their lives.
Another great use for this thing is doing that. Gary, you have you've got to share with the folks the list that you came up with as you were digging through some of your memorabilia.
It just so happened, as I have been over the last 3-4 months, digging through boxes of different things. I'm down to my high school and then my junior high school box. Most of the stuff from junior high came from, I just stuffed in a box and haven't looked at it in a lot of years. So I found my bucket list.
Mm-hmm.
I'd written out a bucket list. And, there's some neat things in here that I haven't done. One of them is, have dinner at the White House. I haven't had dinner, but I have been in the Oval Office when a bill was signed.
Okay.
Help produce a commercial video. I wonder if producing one of your videos, that's probably not a commercial video, but that's become an Eagle Scout, which I've done. But the very first one on the list, very first one, live on a boat.
We're just
talking about that because I'm buying a boat in the next month or so and going to go live on it.
David, he has been drawn by the sirens of Florida, Dave Sawyer. And he was down in Fort Lauderdale, as a matter of fact.
Last week
at the Las Olas Marina. And he's looking for a boat down there, and he's going to be taking up luxury living, or I should say the boating lifestyle down in Florida, along with the rest of you Floridians.
Oh, fantastic.
But I knew I was thinking about this for a long time, but I didn't realize it started when I was 12 or 13 years old and became number one on my bucket list. So,
Dave, I'm just curious, as you've been doing these personal histories for people, have any special stories that have stood out to you as you've gone through with helping people to think back and recapture their memories?
Well, we've had some absolutely amazing stories. And I mean, just one thing is every single person we've ever interviewed has had something where I've just gone, wow, that is unbelievable. For example, we actually did a documentary for someone that was the photographer for the Jackson 5 when they did a tour in Tokyo. So on her account, she has all of these behind-the-scenes photos of little Michael Jackson and the rest of the siblings.
Oh, my.
It was unbelievable. Another one was we actually documented Max Cleland's life, and he was a U.S. senator. He was the head of the VA. He was actually on the 9/11 commission. So hearing his stories was unbelievable. Hearing all of that stuff was nuts. And then another amazing thing actually was when we first were getting started and we were kind of doing our what we call an MVP in entrepreneurship. It's a minimum viable product. It's kind of you testing if this could be a business.
Mm-hmm.
We basically got a bunch of college students. We said, hey, let's go to a local nursing home and let's interview them and put some stuff together and see if they find value in it. And we were interviewing these World War II veterans. They both fought on the Pacific Theater. They were both in the Navy. One of them was in a battle and their ship sank. And the other veteran was on the ship that was pulling people on board and rescuing them from drowning at sea.
Oh,
and we were seeing them both describe this battle and the situation, and we realized that they were talking about the same event. And we went back to them, and sure enough, 100%, they were talking about the exact same event. They had no idea that they were living in the same facility, and it was just an amazing moment for us to bring that story together. It was tears. It was hugs. I was crying. Everyone was crying. It was unbelievable.
That is remarkable. Now, I understand, by the way, if for some reason somebody goes through this, that if a subscription is canceled, that the material that's up there that you have in the cloud can be kept for a certain fee?
Yeah. So what we call is just a simple archival fee, which is just it basically calculates our cost for how long it would take us to host your information for perpetuity. And then you can preserve what you have there and all good to go. And then what we also tell people is if, you know, you're close to where it's going to cost close to $149, it's worth it to just upgrade to that one-time fee thing because you can go in whenever and update stuff.
Mm, I got it. Okay. So that if I pay the $149, then I can just go back and tune things up and add things to it.
Constantly. Yep.
Excellent. Okay. Dave Sawyer is our guest here, by the way. It's TSOLife.com, thestoryoflife.com. And there are... if you go to the website, you'll find that there are a number of different ways of entering into it. You can, as Gary, I think you said before, you can kind of test the waters by taking a sample subscription, which is 30 days, or you could go in there on a per-month basis and start collecting some things. And what are some of the tools that they'll get if they go in there on the monthly basis, David?
Yeah, so they get all the tools that our online platform has. They'll be able to have a step-by-step guide. They'll be able to actually type out their stories, then record their voice directly on the platform so it can be accompanied with the stories. They can upload photos, videos, memories. And we're constantly innovating and adding new features. You can build out your family tree. Another really cool feature is what we call is the Wish I Was There feature, which is basically lets you leave messages to be played at a later date. So specifically when my grandmother, when she was in hospice care, if she were to have left a message that would be delivered to me on my wedding day, kind of saying, I'm so glad you met someone. I wish I could have been there. I'm sure she's amazing. I love you both.
Wow.
I would have been amazing. So we have that for people to be able to use as well.
Wow. There are so many cool features there. David Sawyer, thank you so much for being here with us and for introducing us to TSO Life, thestoryoflife.com. And go online, folks. You'll find links to it on our homepage as well. Dave, the very best to you, and thank you for this wonderful service that you're providing as well.
Thank you very much for having us on. I greatly enjoyed it.
One of the pleasures of having Shane Hamlin in studio is that we got to talk about gaming. And Shane, I'm so glad you're back here. By the way, Mike Brennan is not with us this week. He's taking St. Patrick's Day off.
Yeah,
being a good Irishman, he is... recovering slowly from the celebrations.
Listen, Mike, my name is Shane Patrick Hamlin. I'm pretty Irish. I'm here, damn it.
That's right.
Right?
And yesterday, my name was Gary O'Baker.
There you go.
I was into the right spirit yesterday, although I think that's Irish whiskey, isn't it?
That was a spirit you were into.
18-year Irish. Yeah, the big gamer that I am, and I'm hooked on a mobile game right now.
Really?
Golf Clash. I don't know if you've ever played it.
No, what is it?
It's an app you can download on, you know, iPhone or Apple, and it's one hole, and that's all you get, versus somebody. It randomly picks someone, or you can play your friends.
Really?
And it's one hole shot. You get one hole, and it varies, you know, the courses, and you go one-on-one, and it's for money. Not real money, but, you know.
No, playing, okay.
Play money.
Yeah.
And there's microtransactions. You buy the better clubs and the better balls, but you can earn it all, too, for free. But, I'm the huge gamer, and here I'm stuck on a phone app that's just kicking my butt because it's just like.
What is it called again?
It's called Golf Clash.
Golf Clash.
You know, things are going that way. You know, and I mean, most game developers are developing for the handheld devices. And the new, Nintendo device?
Switch
isn't much larger than a cell phone.
You know, and I've always been the one that's against, I hate mobile games. I never really liked them. I didn't get them.
Yeah, I didn't get them.
You know, because I'm an old school gamer. I'm a guy that did, you know, EverQuest back in the day and, almost 20 years ago.
But you sit in your basement and play for hours and the mobile games, you know, you got a few minutes, play the game.
And that's what I'm finding, that the gaming for me is changing, and it hurts my feelings because it disappoints me.
And the guys you played with.
I think back in the day, you know, of the such intense and such a huge gamer I was that, you know, there was times that I knew that in my game online, multiplayer online, mm-hmm. that I knew at 2 in the morning, my one harvester on Naboo was going to be ready for harvesting. And I had to get up at 2 in the morning and go harvest it, or I would lose those resources.
No.
I mean, it was such an involved game lifestyle that I lived. And I think back.
You were involved in the game.
I missed that. I really missed that excitement to that. And it doesn't exist anymore in gaming because everything is. It's the now generation. It's the generation that wants everything now.
Instant gratification, and every minute is taken up by the device.
Yeah.
And I really believe people are losing, at some point, their ability to communicate with each other in line at grocery stores. And, you know, when's the last time you went to a grocery store and struck up a conversation? My wife says she hates that about me, but she also loves that about me.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty much the same way.
Yeah. And that's me. I'll talk to my wife hates it as well. I'll talk to everybody about anything in the grocery store.
That's right.
I mean, I talk to everyone.
How can you just strike up a conversation with people?
Doesn't bother me. Yeah, right.
It doesn't bother me. No. Never has.
So were you a hardcore gamer too, Ed?
No, not really. Oh, maybe in the 90s.
In the 90s? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, where I'd stay up until 3 in the morning playing Duke Nukem and stuff like that. Yeah, games like that, the early games.
The early shooter games.
Yeah, early
Which, in the early 90s, we all were. I mean, I was in corporate America in the 90s, and half the office was playing Doom. I mean, that's just the way it was. Yeah. I mean, I seen it at then. I thought back, boy, this is the end of the world.
That's why I got into PCs, was for gaming, really, mm-hmm. if I think back on it. I had to build a better, faster, stronger PC than my friends so I could kick their butts.
Yeah, were you ever a gamer again?
No.
Me neither. No. Me neither. I never got into it, and I don't know why. I've plenty of other things that we're doing online.
And I'm finding because I speak to a lot of our listeners will come see me at my store.
Yep.
Or they'll just call out of the blue. And I'm talking to a lot of older folk, mm-hmm. and they're into gaming.
Yeah.
More than...
What kind of gaming are they into?
Whatever they can get their hands on. I mean, you know, you would think it's a solitaire and checkers. No, they want to play all these kinds of games.
Battleship, the large battle frontiers, listen, the ships, and golf.
When I turn these people on to Windows 10, I don't just hand them a computer with Windows 10. I actually will set them up with a Windows account so they can really utilize the store.
Mm-hmm. Microsoft store, your store.
The Microsoft store. Because I know they're going to want to play solitaire. Yeah. That's the first thing they want to play, solitaire. Sure. So when I show them the store and all these games that they can download for free, mm-hmm. and they're pretty safe too. Those games, they've all been tested. They're all safe games to download. They go nuts. They absolutely go nuts about these games.
Yeah.
And
That's neat.
It's amazing how many older seniors are. I mean, they're not playing Call of Duty.
Yeah, okay.
So one question, though, is the Microsoft Store, apparently in the last few years, has really ramped up, because that was the biggest complaint when they came up with their mobile phones devices, is that, we have 200 games out here. I mean, come on. I mean, there's a million on iTunes and Android, but there were so few in the Microsoft Store. Apparently that's switched quite a bit with this Windows 10 environment.
Yeah, I can play this on my phone, the Golf Clash, and I can also log in. And play it on my PC
okay. Yeah, okay.
through Facebook.
So that's good to hear. Thanks for bringing that up.
Through Facebook, you said?
Yeah. Because what it does is it takes all my friends from Facebook, and it says, hey, I'm playing this. You know, it doesn't bother them. It will send them an invite. Hey, play this game with me, because then it shows up, and we can battle each other.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I told my son about it, and now he's mad at me.
Why?
Well, it's because he's addicted to it. You know, and now here I am, at, you know, during the day, and, you know, I work at a computer store, and I have a little bit more freedom than he would. He's, you know, he works at Crestlink, and he's hustling around in the service department.
Mm-hmm.
So I see him at, you know, 2 o'clock logging in, and I'm thinking, you should be working, son. You know, I'm like, what are you doing playing?
You know, and that's what I found out a few years ago. We went through a phase, myself and my the lady I carpooled with, Word for Friends.
Oh, yes. Oh,
and that was addicting. Yeah. But I found myself playing 5 Word for Friends games simultaneously and getting upset with people because it's been 2 days since they checked in, and I just get nasty with them.
Right. So the mobile thing has been grabbing my attention lately, because you're right, Gary. Sometimes I don't want to sit down and, you know, I can log into my Xbox One, mm-hmm. and we play a game called Elder Scrolls. Mm-hmm. It's online. It's a multiplayer. But I don't sometimes have 2-3 hours to commit to a raid or a dungeon crawl.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to pop on like this. I'll be sitting at my, when I'm watching TV, and I'll say, oh, it's a commercial. I'll say, I can get a quick round in.
He's got his cell phone in his hands, folks. That's what
yeah.
he's talking about.
And I say, I can get a quick round of golf in real quick.
I can squeeze in 3 right. holes, yeah.
And I find myself doing it like 2 a.m. sometimes. Like, wake up in the middle of the night, go, I bet you I can get a quick.
Well, in light of all that you're saying,
yeah. right. So you're back to being
Andrew,
a
Andrew wakes up, yeah. and I'm sitting on the edge of the bed playing golf. She's like, what are you doing? My wife. That's my wife, by the way.
Tell me about the Nintendo Switch, then. I mean, is it... Well, are they late to the game?
You got it. Well, here's the thing. Nintendo's always late to the game. This is their thing. This is what they do. They come out with a new console, which the fanboys buy up. You know, they sell the heck out of it overseas. They'll ramp up record sales, and then they'll just disappear, like they always do. You know, the Wii came out,
mm-hmm.
sold record numbers, and then they just quit developing for it, and it goes away.
Uh-huh.
And the same thing's going to happen to this Switch.
Hmm.
It did great sales records. They're ramping up. Now they're a little smarter. Before, they would hold back on production and kind of create that shortage, like they always have. Nintendo's famous for it. But they've learned that their sales window is very limited, meaning because they know they're not going to develop anything else for it, mm-hmm. and it's just going to die. So now they're doubling production, so they're going to get as much as they can, and it'll in 2 years from now, you'll be a Switch. What was that? I guarantee it. Guarantee it.
Back to golf.
Yes.
Four. Shane, thanks so much for sharing that with us. Shane is going to stick around because Shane, Ed, Gary, and I are going to be committed to answering your questions. How are we going to do that? You're going to give us a call at 800-859-0957. That's the number. Toll free. Give us a call, 800-859-0957.
You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show. To see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage, theinternetadvisor.net. You'll discover past podcasts, our free toolkit with software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, and many other resources. You'll also find links to mitechnews.com, our co-sponsored weekly tech and entrepreneur newsletter, edited by Mike Brennan. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact button on the homepage and send us an email with the details. And don't forget to look for us on Facebook and Twitter and at Detroit's newest podcast network, PodcastDetroit.com. Now let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor.
Welcome to hour number 2 of the Internet Advisor, and that is your hour. Hi, I'm Foster Brown, co-host and the producer of the program, along with Gary Baker, Ed Verdell, and Shane Hamlin. We're here in this hour to answer your questions. That's right. That's what this hour is all about. That's what we call it, your hour. 800-859-0957 is the phone number. And it's your opportunity to ask somebody who's had a lot of years of experience the question about your printer, computer, whatever it may be. Gary Baker, Ed Riddell are in studio here, ready to answer your questions. And here's the number once again, 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957. And waiting patiently for us in Grosse Pointe Woods is Bruce. Bruce, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Well, thank you. I'm a pleasure to talk to you, gentlemen. I love your show. I have a question. I've currently... I am currently a Windows Phone user, one of less than 1% people still on that platform.
My wife is, by the way, the other person who's on.
I think Shane has a Windows Phone.
No, I used to.
Oh, used to. Yes.
And I love how it integrates and migrates to my tablet, my desktop.
Yep.
And I wonder what your thoughts are if Windows is still looking at supporting it. I see that they're talking about a Surface Phone in 2020. I've got a family that's all using ISO, Android. I have, I have experienced Apple tablets, Android tablets, and I prefer the Windows 10 platform. I was just wondering if Windows does disappear, what do you feel would be the best way to migrate into a different system, and what would be your choice if I had to do that?
Good question. Well, I think Shane is the person to answer that.
Yeah, actually, they're thinking of coming out with the Surface Phone. I don't think the decision has been made, but that's a Windows phone. That's a Windows platform.
Correct. And it just, I think maybe this week it leaked that it might be ready by the end of this year.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Bruce had said
2020,
that's a little ways away. Mm. I think, who knows what we're going to be using in 2020,
Yeah, exactly. So what did you do?
I went to Android. You know, it was either Apple or Android, and I, too, the biggest thing with me is I did love the integration with my Surface tablet and my Windows 10. It was beautiful, the phone. The problem is, just like everyone else, I got sick of no apps. I didn't have it. You know, everyone's doing this or that, and I couldn't do that. But my emails were synced, but it goes so far. I went with an Android.
Cheaper than the iPhone.
Yeah, and the iPhone to me feels like a toy to me. It just does. How do I go back in this thing? You know, the Android is more, if you're used to a Windows environment, the Android is the next progression for you.
Also, the iPhone.
And you feel there are, Microsoft is developing programs for Android and ISO. So you feel that I'd be missing much if I switched over? I mean, obviously, would I still be able to transfer my emails and everything through Outlook on an Android. Then.
You will be missing zero.
Yeah, you won't miss
it. You will still be able to download Microsoft Outlook to your phone. You will still be able to download Word, Office, all those things you'll still be able to use. In fact, you'll have zero transition problems.
Okay.
No, that's the good news, and it's interesting. You're talking to somebody who's had to do exactly that.
It'll be cheaper than the iPhone.
Yes.
There's about, it's about 75-25 now, 75% installed base is Android, and about 25 is iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
I love the iPhone. I've had this, I think, my fourth one.
That's because they keep breaking. No, I'm just kidding.
But they keep upgrading and go. I missed a couple, but I think I'll probably upgrade to the next one.
Yeah, the next one's coming. Ed, you are strictly Android, right?
I am, but I have to support a lot of people that prefer the iPhones. And Mac OS is, oh my gosh, don't even get me started on supporting those in a corporate environment.
Yeah, that's hard.
Because there's so many limitations when you're dealing with legacy applications and stuff like that. Financial applications.
I have a friend in the new company Cyber that I've joined, and he would not take the standard issue Dell computer from the company. He wants to use his Mac. We're going, why? He said, well, I just like it better, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like every time we want to do something, oh, I can't do that. Oh, I can't do that. Right. Oh, I can't connect here. Oh, I can't do that. Because he's trying to connect to the company environment with a Mac, and it just doesn't work.
That's still going to be a problem.
But the transition from a Microsoft phone to the Android or even an iPhone is pretty seamless nowadays, better than it was 3 years ago.
Is our listener still there?
Yeah, Bruce.
Bruce?
Yes.
Oh, who's your service provider?
Service provider is Verizon.
Everyone has a Samsung, Android phones. If you're looking for an alternative, just don't want to be one of the sheeples, the sheep. Look at an HTC phone. If you're looking at an Android phone, look at an HTC. HTC makes a really good phone, solid phone. They tend to have really strong glass on them. They're a little bit more rugged than.
Did you say glands?
Glass.
Oh, okay.
They're a little bit more sturdy than some of those Samsungs, and the picture quality. And I know they've got a new one that's just came out called the Ultra, and I think you're going to like it.
Okay, Bruce.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
I thank you for your call.
That was a great endorsement on the HTC. Because didn't HTC also make some of the Windows phones as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
And HTC made a lot of the Palm devices years and years ago.
So. And the little cash register.
Been around for a long time.
Ron, Ron from Dearborn, we'll be with you in just a moment, by the way. We're about to take a break, so I don't want to start a call before we jump into the break. But the number, folks, is 800-859-0957. We're here until 6 o'clock, and our mantra is the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. And we've got some folks in the studio here ready and willing to take your calls. As Mr. Gary Baker, Andrew Dillon, Cal Carson.
And I wanted to...
Shane Hamlin, and I want to say you've
tickled my interest on this note you have on the notes here, the USB killer stick, and we'll talk about that when we get back.
Yes. Oh, yeah, it's like a spy novel. It's not a spy novel. It's for real. Coming back with that in just a moment. Again, our phone number, 800-859-0957. You heard the young lady. There's the phone number, 800-859-0957. And our crew is standing by, waiting for your questions. Ron from Dearborn, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How may we serve you?
Well, I guess I got to replace my Vista laptop.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been looking at new machines, and I'm wondering, like, how much RAM should I get, and what kind of... Like, do I need to make a recovery disk on this on the new ones? How do I set it up?
What are your uses? What do you think you're going to use it for?
Mostly I just surf the web and email and YouTube.
Okay.
Yep. And so, Ron, I think you wrote us an email about this morning.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I just forwarded that on to Shane. I said, Shane, we're going to have to answer this. If we don't get enough callers, we can use this one of our listener questions, and you can answer it. So I'm gonna throw a softball to Shane because I know what I would say.
Well, I mean, you're gonna want to take your first step, and you should always have done this, is make sure your data that's on your Vista machine is backed up and secure.
Yeah, it is.
You know, is it on the cloud somewhere?
No, it's on an external drive.
Well, to me, that's not secure. I mean, because something can always happen. I can't tell you how many times I've walked in with an external drive that doesn't work anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to be a little bit redundant and get yourself some kind of cloud storage if you can. And that's going to help you in the long run anyway. It doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah, is this desktop or a laptop?
I got a laptop. I want a laptop.
Good.
And then pretty much, you know, the computer's prices have come down so much. You know,
yeah, I've seen that. I've seen them for around $300 up to $700 or $800.
Yeah, be careful not to go and grab that, you know, Walmart $299 special, because you'll be regretting it in about a year. Because, you know, let's be realistic. You pay for what you get, and that's always been a rule of thumb. You know, there's a reason why the machine is $299, right?
Yeah.
It's an i3 or less and, or something.
You know, cheap hinges, plastic, a lot of plastic, off-brand hard drives, off-brand RAM, you know, things of those kind of nature.
Well, I leave it on my desk. I don't carry it with me, and I don't, you know, it just sits there.
Yeah, I mean, no joke. I mean, some of these cheaper, because it's not the same as it used to be. Toshiba's not the same company as they once were.
Oh, no.
I mean, they're just, I've seen them deteriorate just sitting there.
Right.
In fact, we've had one explode in our
office. Really?
We've had one explode in our lab just sitting there.
But he could get one. He could get something pretty reasonable, an i5 processor. Yeah. How much RAM?
It's 4 to 8 gigs of RAM, somewhere in there.
At least eight.
Yeah. I would probably do 8. Yep.
I mean, I just recently sold a Lenovo i7 with 8 gigs of RAM for $425.
Yeah,
and
so that's
an i7
deal.
I mean, you know,
that's a pretty good deal.
Wow,
that was brand new.
Now, touchscreen or no touchscreen?
I would. You know what? It all depends on yourself. But in my opinion, you like touchscreen.
I love touchscreen.
I don't use touchscreen. To me, it's useless. And I will say this: I've seen touchscreens come in for repair, and it's expensive. It's not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
It's not cheap. You know, I mean, because, you know, the year warranty only lasts you a year, and then after that...
I've never had one go bad on me.
Yeah.
But,
well, was it the touchscreen that went bad or the LCD that went bad?
Well, it's either the digitizer is all part of the... Because it's very hard to... When you go to separate them, a lot of times they destroy each other.
I got so lucky with my sons.
You did.
They were actually... It was actually... it just lifted off.
You got lucky.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't glued.
Some of them that are glued, when you're ungluing them, they tend to destroy one another.
Yeah.
So, but I like them, and I would, with a Windows 10 machine, I would get a touch screen.
Now, what's the price difference? $50, $100 difference?
No. They'll soon be a little cheaper because there are going to be more of them than there are non-touchscreen.
Well, I was just wondering if you got a comparable system, one with the touchscreen, one without, the difference is like 50 to 100?
I don't think there's any difference. The last two that I bought, one for a friend, one for my wife, it was cheaper, but it might have been cheaper for other reasons.
Now, how about laptops with DVDs or Blu-rays? They're becoming rarer and rarer.
I don't think you can buy one.
Yeah, I don't. I've not a single laptop in my store that has a DVD runner.
I haven't seen one.
I mean, they're just. There's no point anymore. Yeah. Why? It just doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You know.
So, are you a fan of solid state?
Of course, yeah. I mean, solid state drives are nice.
We're not going to see them.
Over two gigs?
No,
well, there are.
Well, there are one terabytes.
Yeah, well, there's more than one terabyte.
Oh, I bet there is. But there's a price point.
They're
so
expensive.
250 to 500 gig is about reasonable.
Right now, we've decided not to buy any traditional SATA drives anymore in our store. Because the price is almost becoming, I can get a terabyte SATA drive, I mean, terabyte hybrid, or I'm not hybrid, a
solid state,
or 500 gig solid state. For almost the same price.
Right.
Wow.
And you're going to keep all your content in the cloud anyway.
And I tell you what, when people pick up their machine and we've upgraded them to a solid state, it's amazing how happy they are because it's
so much faster.
Oh. The speed is incredible. So,
Is the life on a solid state drive better than a regular one?
I don't think there's a limit on a solid state drive.
I'm having fewer computers come back with disk failures.
Yeah.
With that, now that we've gone all solid state in the corporation I work for, my full time job, than I did before. I mean, when we had the mechanical drives, the click, click, click. I mean, you'd run across two or three of those a week easily.
Wow.
And now, I think the last solid state I have, I think one in 6 months, and we're talking 80,000 people. You know,
wow. I mean, to be honest with you, the days of you have to have a 500 gig hard drive are over. You don't need a big hard drive.
Right.
In fact, I'll throw a 250 or 120 gig solid state in the computer all day long because I'll make sure they're educated enough to use the cloud and utilize the storage.
And if you're using Windows 10, you would use OneDrive, right?
OneDrive, correct. Right. And OneDrive is wonderful because once you've set up your Windows account, it syncs everything up very nicely, and you don't even realize you're using it.
Correct. So, Ron, are you picking up some of these things as we're going through here?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. So we're talking about, and the price range and what we've been talking about.
I say the price range for myself and what I get some of my customers in is probably between $400 and $500. That's the sweet point for me right now. That's where you're going to get a really nice machine. And if you really shop it, you might be able to get yourself a nice business grade model for that and not a retail unit.
Shane, you weren't in last week, but I was saying that I have found that I go shopping online, kind of figure out what's out there, and then I go into you're too far away for me.
Yeah.
You're over
well over an hour away.
Yeah, yeah. But I'll go into Best Buy. I found cheaper machines at Best Buy. I just helped a friend of mine, and he was saying that, you know, he wanted to buy this machine, but it was a little more than he wanted to pay. And they said, well, we have one in the back that's got a scrape on it, right?
Blemish, yeah.
Yeah, so they went in and they got it, and he polished it out so it wasn't even there.
Yeah.
And then the key fell off, unfortunately, and he took it back and he got a brand new one that didn't even have the idea of the blemish. I don't know why the key fell off, but in fact, the Best Buy, it was just easy, got it back the same day, you know, took it in, got another one right then. And it was just easy. I'm really a proponent. I think I bought the last four or five now, either for my friends or myself or family, at a local store.
Yeah, not everybody has, you know, an Ed or a Shane or a Gary to go shopping with.
Right,
so when you get a chance to go, you know, hopefully you have a local internet store.
What do you think? Now, it's interesting you mentioned that because I had a friend who lives way up in Harrisonville, way up in the north near Rogers City, I think it is. She was down visiting, and she went into Costco and found something for, I think, $450, $500, and it was a very nice little machine. What do you think of those stores?
I'm a little concerned of that.
Here's the thing. If you're educated enough to walk in and know what you want to buy and buy it, then you can go ahead. But
it's always a step back, and there's always something funky about the components. Yeah. And that's been my experience. I look at everything and go, oh, this is great. And then I look at the video card and I went, I'd never buy that video card, right? So that's why I'd go to a Best Buy or a Shane's company or somebody like that.
Very rarely do I have someone walk into a store, know exactly what they want without needing some help and guidance, and showing them the differences between the models.
By the way, Ron, is the value of a local store, whether it's Shane's store, which is
Comptech Services in Sterling Heights,
or it's one of the other ones out there. If it's locally owned, that's the best place to go. So, Ron, thank you very much for your call. Jared out in South Lyon will be back with you and the rest of you at 800-859-0957. If you are sitting at home right now and you've got a problem with your computer and you haven't called in yet, shame on you. You've got lines open right now at 800-859-0957, and we are just itching to take the opportunity to take some time to answer your question.
And we don't really mean shame on
them. Did you say Shane on you or Shane?
Shane on you.
Like a sick Shane.
He'll be all over
sick
you. Ed, before we get back to where Jared, hang on a second. You had something about a killer USB?
Yeah, you mentioned this, and I had no idea what it was, so I had to look it up. So basically, a USB killer stick just got worse. So this is apparently on the market right now, and people are throwing it way out of proportion. But basically, you plug this USB stick into any computer, and it will fry just about that computer. And what it was made for security experts, or people that need to destroy data really quickly on their computer.
Spy.
That's what it was developed for, and that's what the website sells it for. And what it does is it stores up an electrical charge, and then after it reaches that charge, it feeds it back into the computer and fries the circuits of the computer.
That's some movie stuff.
It is.
And it costs about, $40, I think?
Yeah, really cheap.
Oh, that's...
I mean, you do not want to give your 5-year-old child one of those by accident.
Couldn't you just take a lamp cord and cut it off and then have it handy when you needed to plug in and just spray it to the USB? Or do the same
thing. Probably do the same thing.
For free. Yeah.
Do the same thing.
It's all about saving money here.
Hello to Jared from South Lyon. Thank you so much for your patience, and welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Now, that's a terrifying concept right there, to plug it in and kill your computer.
Isn't it? Oh, my goodness, for $40, here, kill your computer.
or your friends, yeah. I guess it wouldn't be.
Or your friends, yes.
I'm in the market for a new phone. I've had a Droid Max since it came out, essentially, and I found the Moto G5 Plus. I see it's coming out in March sometime, and I was wondering how that compares across the market, and if you guys happen to know the release date for that here in the U.S.,
Boy, I heard about it, but I really didn't look into it. I really haven't kept up with the mobile phone aspect of it at all. So you're talking about the Motorola is coming up with the new G5, right?
And yeah.
All I've seen is the news clips, unless someone else in the studio has been keeping track. What do you know about it? So maybe you can enlighten some of our listeners about it. And why are you interested in it?
I've been looking for a mid-range smartphone because I really don't want to pay $700, $800, $900 for a Samsung or something like that. And basically from what I found, I looked on GMS Arena, and they've got all the specs and a whole bunch of other things for a lot of devices. And it looks comparable to the Samsung 7. It's only like $229
or $225 is what I was seeing. $225, yeah.
Yeah, because Motorola really has to do something. I mean, really, their last big phone, and correct me if I'm wrong, was like the Motorola Razr, and they came up with the Razr running Android, and that was sort of like, some of them are good, some of them are bad, and then I hadn't heard of them.
That's when it was Droid. I mean, that's when...
the Droids, right, yeah.
It's a stylish, it's a pretty phone, the new Moto 5, what is it, 5 Plus?
Max. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It looks like this spring is kind of a hodgepodge. A bunch of different phones are released in this spring that are going to, the Moto 5 Plus, the new HT Ultra that I was telling you about, that's actually just released. And then Samsung's going to be releasing...
Oh, they're 8?
Yeah. The Windows, Samsung 8, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we've got some phones that are going to be in market with each other. And you know what? It all depends on yourself.
Boy, at $225, that's a great price.
It is. No, it's cheap.
Good Lord, yes.
But, I always worry, again, like I always say about laptops, you pay for what you get. There's $225 for a reason. Why? What's the difference there? Why am I getting a phone that's $700 and why is one $225? You know, yeah, did they all of a sudden
the Samsung mainly just has the top of the line products in it, and they're competing with Apple, of course, so they can appeal to that market.
Yeah, but. Because that would, you know, if the prices, if that, you know, the price is there, but you know, take a look at all of them. Go out there and feel them. Put it, because you're not going to know until you get it in your hand. You know, I've seen some phones that I absolutely would wanted, and I went to the store, I got it in my hand, I thought it was going to slide out. You know, they're slippery or they're too bulky or they're too big.
Yep.
You
know, or that power button just isn't quite right.
Right. Get it in your hand, play with it, use it, and see what, you know, most companies will allow you to get a phone and return it. You know,
what carriers do these things work with?
It works for all four. Yeah. The Motorola website says that it's unlocked for all the U.S. carriers. Yeah. So.
Nowadays, most phones, you can pretty much go anywhere with them.
Okay, so you could take a Moto G Plus, this G5 Plus, into AT&T, Verizon, whoever else.
T-Mobile.
Mm-hmm. To anybody else. Well, Jared, I'd be very interested in hearing what your results are when you do that.
Okay.
Give us a call.
Once I get it, I'll try to make sure I call you guys back if I do pick it or if I don't.
Or send an email in and we can share that with our listeners as well, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you for calling. All right. The number, by the way, again, is 800-859-0957. Lines are open right now until 6 o'clock. We'd love to talk with you about your concerns, whatever that may be. And if you've been, you know, holding off asking the question because you've been listening to the answers we've had for somebody else, or you're just kind of, you know, fidgeting around there and say, I don't know if I want to ask, do it. Very often you help a lot of other people when you ask your specific question. Guys, we had a question that came in via email that while we're waiting for somebody to take advantage of our open lines here, and they're starting to call at 800-859-0957. The question was about Windows Defender. One of our listeners, David, purchased a laptop a few months ago, and it came with McAfee antivirus and anti-spyware. It must have been one of those temporary free things, because my laptop now tells me that the McAfee protection has ended, and that is rather typical. The security section of the laptop states that Windows Defender has been activated in place of McAfee. That, by the way, guys, am I right, is kind of the thing that happens automatically.
Automatically, yeah, on the Windows security in the background.
Right, exactly, because thank goodness for that. The statement wants me to purchase... Oh, then there's a statement that pops up and wants me to purchase McAfee to protect my computer. Well, that's because you had it on beforehand, and it wants you to continue buying. So his question is, will Windows Defender protect me from viruses and spyware? How do you answer?
That's all I run on my computers at home now is Windows Defender.
Yep, protects me. That's what I run.
Same here.
Yep. I mean, and if a person is not happy with that answer, then they can investigate through their internet service provider
and get it for free, right?
Get it for free.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I tend to run one other. I run Malwarebytes ransomware protector that runs live because ransomware is so, you know, so big right now.
Yep. You know, I wasn't aware of that. So they offer a free product for ransomware?
Yeah.
No way. Wow. So why didn't you let the Internet Advisor team know about this, Shane?
I just did. There you go.
Wow.
So Malwarebytes has a tool now. It's called ransomware.
It's ransomware fixer-upper. It will live block. You know, let's be honest with you. Nothing's 100%. You know, nothing's going to keep that off 100%, but if it's there, it helps.
And the Malwarebytes has such a good reputation. It's a good track record.
I will tell you that I use...
They're good people.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, we've had Mission on.
Yeah.
So I use Malwarebytes once in a while, and I just go through it. I manually update it, make sure it's up to date, and then I'll run it. For the last three or four times, it's come up with nothing. Nothing's, and I never had a problem. I wasn't running it because I had a problem.
Yeah,
Defender.
I did my Mac, and it helped.
Really?
It did.
Defender's just doing such a great job. It's keeping that stuff out.
So I don't have that on my Mac, but thank heavens for it being on the Windows machines. Dave, we're happy to have you with us. Tell us how we can help you here on the Internet Advisor. Hello, Dave.
Guys.
Hi.
Hey, Dave.
Hey. Yeah, I've got the old Toshiba laptop with the Vista. I can't use the internet on it, so I picked up a Samsung Galaxy 2 notebook tablet.
Uh-huh.
Refurbished, slow as can be. And I guess it's got the bloatware or something, they say, with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been looking at maybe an Apple iPad Pro 12.9-inch with 128
mm-hmm.
gigabytes
mm-hmm.
refurbished. Or should I go just to a laptop?
Hmm.
What are you going to use it for?
I do a lot of, like, email, YouTube, internet.
Just surfing around. Okay, nothing, no super editing.
No engineering, no gaming, none of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. So I
not really. You know, what I do like to use is, like, database.
Yeah, okay.
Spreadsheets.
Yeah. That's database and spreadsheets are two different things. So, are we talking like using Excel, that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
I'd be fine with Excel.
So, are you going to want to plug in any kind of USB-driven device? Because there's no USB port on an iPad.
That's why we asked the question about the iPad, because there's no USB port there.
I wouldn't get one for that reason. We haven't. Why don't you hang on?
Yeah, hang on.
Dave, hang on. We're going to talk with you during the break, too, to find a little bit more about that and wrap things up on the other side. Hang on for just a second, please. And we've got Bob from Sterling Heights and Mike from Taylor. We'll get to you two guys before we wrap the program up as well. Thank you for calling in here on the Internet Advisor. It is time for me to make my weekly acknowledgement of the folks that make the program happen behind the glass, as we say. Mike Stats, thank you so much for your help engineering. And Logan Sandifer for being our producer. Thank you so much for being the pleasant voice answering the phone on the other end. All right, let's get back to our phone lines and talk with Bob from Sterling Heights. Bob, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you today?
Okay, thank you, guys. About a year ago, I had to put Trend Micro on my Windows 7. I had a virus,
mm-hmm.
and they were helping me get rid of it. And it just expired, the Trend Micro, and I tried to put the program back on for Windows 7,
mm-hmm.
The security package. And during the setup wizard, it said to close down the other present antivirus program.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I did that, it had to shut down the computer to reboot. And, of course, when I came up, the wizard was gone. And when I go into all programs, I'm not showing the other program.
So how did you
shut
down
Micro? Excuse me, you mean the Trend Micro?
No, Defender.
Right.
No, he said Trend Micro, which was expiring.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you shut it off? Did you actually go and uninstall it?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so that's why it's not there. And how were you attempting to upgrade it? Did you download the software from Trend, or did you purchase a DVD or CD?
He wants to get rid of Trend and go back to Defender.
Oh, MSE. He wants to go back to MSE.
Oh, I completely misunderstood that. Okay, so you've uninstalled it.
Right.
Okay.
And then Microsoft Security Essentials, are they on? They're not on automatically on Windows 7, are they? Well, no, you have to download it, I think.
Yeah, you have to download it.
Right. Had taken it off when they put Trend on. And then when I tried to put it back on
mm-hmm.
from Microsoft,
mm-hmm.
I went through the wizard, and then the wizard said you have to shut down your previous program, which I had.
Yeah.
And it also said that I had to restart my computer to get rid of that program.
Yeah. Okay.
Correct.
And, of course, when I did, and the computer came back up, the wizard wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
I went into all programs, and I couldn't find the Microsoft program to go any further.
MSE, okay.
Yeah, it's not going to be there. You're going to have to
download it.
What version of Windows is this?
Seven.
Okay. By chance, you might have a message in your bottom right corner. Like a notification message that says something in regards of, your Defender or your Windows security is disabled. Because a lot of times, Trend Micro doesn't uninstall the other program. It just disables it itself and hides in the background. Windows is known for doing that.
Right.
But it's easy. It's easy stuff here. You've already done the one thing. We've already uninstalled your Trend Micro. That's gone. So then basically all you're going to do is just re-download the Security Defender.
Microsoft Security Essentials, MSE, right?
And you go into Bing or Google and type MSE, and it's usually the first or second search result.
Yeah, MSE, Microsoft Security. Yeah, and I use Bing when I do that, and it is the first hit. And it'll take you, you select download and install, and it basically installs it. It'll perform that little scan again to see if you already have existing antivirus, and you've already uninstalled that portion of it, and then it'll just continue with the installation.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, it had already installed the new program.
Oh,
but I can't find it.
Well,
you cannot find it.
I would try rebooting. I would try rebooting and looking for it again.
And look for it at the bottom right corner by your time. You're going to have a little icon there that's either going to look like a little shield or a little bluish green house. And that's where you'll know you have it.
And you can always go into the search bar in Windows 7 and type in Security Essentials.
Correct.
So start, and then you type in the search bar Security Essentials, and it will, if it's installed, it'll find it in the search bar on the top left under Programs.
Yep.
And you can bring up the wizard then, and just to make yourself feel better. And if not, you can always go through the wizard again from the website. Yep. It'll say, I'm sorry, we're already installed.
Okay. All right.
Okay, very good. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you for your call. Okay, let's go to Mike, who is calling us from Taylor downriver. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Very good. What can we do for you? Sure. What can we do for you?
Well, I have a real simple question. I have a Android LG Leon model smartphone, and I just use it really for simple tasks, just for work. I work out in the field remodeling, and it's less than a year old. It was about 10 months ago I purchased it, and it started acting very strangely about 3 weeks ago. It would power off in the middle of a phone call, and it wouldn't back on when I'd try to start it again. And I would go to use it at the beginning of a day after being charged, having a full battery charge, and it would just shut off. And it wouldn't come on for hours. So I finally got fed up with that and took it back to the store I purchased it from. And that gentleman showed me how to reboot the battery, just take it out and leave it out for more than 10 seconds and to let it...
doing like a hard reset on it, okay.
Just do a hard reset so that I could get back up to full power and full function. And I did that, and it worked a few times, but it just went right back to powering off whenever it wanted to.
Really?
Yeah. So he never gave me a solution to actually take care of the problem other than buying another phone.
Well, it's quite possible. Have you gone into the Android phone and tried to do to check the manufacturer site to see if there's a firmware upgrade? Because this really sounds like it's a charging or overheating. Is the phone getting excessively hot?
No, not at all.
Oh, then okay. Then you might want to still try into the about. So go into settings and you scroll down to software updates or about. And usually you have the ability to check the manufacturer's site for an update. That may be a possibility. Shane, do you have any ideas?
Yeah, I mean, a firmware software update is always a great step to first because it doesn't cost you anything and it's easy to do. Now, when you said you removed the battery and did that help?
It did initially. Yeah. I was very pleasantly surprised when he said take it out for more than 10 seconds and put it back in. And I did that, and it started right up. It was working fine.
To me, that's...
But then the problem came back the next day.
This problem exists in laptops as well. Whenever you've got a fault in the circuitry, there's an open, what I call an open short in the board or somewhere that's very susceptible to static. And what's happening is you're dissipating any static or any buildup of energy in this machine when you take that battery out for 5-10 minutes. It's not like it's resetting itself. You're like discharging the machine. You know, you're killing it of any kind of static or electricity. And usually, sometimes if there's a crack, some damaged solder, you open these boards up to this static, susceptible to static charge. And a lot of times it just runs havoc, whether it just shuts them down, won't start them, it just does. If the upgrade,
so if there's a fault in the phone, probably.
If the upgrade to the firmware and the software does not work, you might want to look at either replacing the battery or getting a new phone.
Do you have a warranty on the phone?
The fault is with the battery or is with the circuit board?
The first thing, it's cheaper to replace the battery.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They're not that expensive. You know, swap out the battery. If it works, great, you're done. It could have been a fault in the battery. If that's not the case, then more than likely you have some kind of a short in the motherboard or circuitry. That's my thought.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, well, I would definitely go back to them and say, look, you've got a problem. Is it under warranty? Still under warranty?
Well, here, that's what I wanted to ask you. They finally said, I went to another store, and he said, well, you're under warranty for a year from purchase.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you take it to a corporate store, they'll replace the phone.
Yes.
So I went there, and he said, well, it's authorized for replace the phone. For it's got the warranty authorization, but it's a $16 fee to replace the phone. I just wanted to ask
it's
you.
Worth that.
It sounds like it's worth it. Okay, Mike,
so,
sorry, we got to wrap on
we'll
that.
Talk to him afterwards.
Yeah, Mike, thanks so much for calling. Sorry we couldn't take a little more time with that. Thanks for the rest of you. Jim from Westland and Tim from Brighton. We'll see maybe if we can get to you after the show. Thank you all very much for being with us here, and thanks to all the folks who made this show possible. Take care. We'll see you next week on The Internet Advisor.
You've been listening to The Internet Advisor Show, Detroit's longest-running, locally-produced computer show, with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and our team of experts. For more information about our weekly show, to ask a question of our experts, or find the show notes for this podcast, visit InternetAdvisor.net and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. Don't forget to check the other great podcasts available on this PodcastDetroit.com network. Thank you for listening.